Benazir Bhutto was born in 1953, but her life might as well have spanned entire centuries. Hers was a feudal landholding family. Her father, Prime Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, was ousted in a coup, and he was hanged by the military regime that took over. When she returned to Pakistan this year, she did so mindful of the threat of assassination.
I know the dangers are there, but I'm prepared to take those risks. My father was killed. It was a very terrible moment in my life, but I also learned from him that one has to stand up for the principles they believe in. And I'm standing up for the principle of democracy. I'm standing up for moderation. And I'm standing up for hope for all the people in Pakistan who today are poor and miserable and really quite desperate.
That was Bhutto speaking on CNN back in September. Benazir Bhutto's return was not universally celebrated in Pakistan. When she had been in power, Bhutto's own husband was so renowned for graft he earned the nickname Mr. 10%. Her rivalry with the exiled ex-Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif was bitter. Critics said it epitomized the potential of democracy for division. Within her own family, the rivalries were of a scale to fill a Shakespearean history, if not a tragedy. One brother died mysteriously, another was shot to death. A sister-in-law claimed that Benazir had had her own brother murdered. And yet, for all of that, Bhutto was a westernizer and a modernizer, a woman who became prime minister herself of a Muslim country. That was unprecedented. She was educated at Oxford and at Harvard, and as she told us on this program in June, she set herself against religious extremism in Pakistan, starting with contesting elections, but not stopping there.
Contesting the polls is only the beginning of the journey to undermine extremism, militancy, and terrorism. But most fundamental is to address the social and economic needs of the people of Pakistan. In a way, dictatorship neglects the basic needs of the people. And when their basic needs to clothing, to housing, to drinking water, to economic advancement is neglected, the poverty and the desperation is a fertile ground for the extremists to exploit.
The late Benazir Bhutto, speaking earlier this year on All Things Considered. The party that Bhutto led, the Pakistan People's Party, is obviously in turmoil. It's unclear who will take over. One person who'll be part of the decision-making is Ehtezaz Assan. He's currently under government-ordered house arrest in Lahore, Pakistan, and when I asked him who's responsible for Bhutto's death, he said the buck stops with Pervez Musharraf.
There is nobody else who can be who can take the responsibility, and he must, like a man, take it straight on his chest. He should accept responsibility. General Musharraf remains the supreme commander of everything that's happening in Pakistan.
But just to nail down the accusation, are you accusing Pervez Musharraf of sins of omission or sins of commission here in this?
Well, in a way, whatever, he has to explain. He has to explain. The people of Pakistan seek an explanation from the so-called unconstitutionally elected head of the government, head of the state, who is also effectively the chief executive. He is appointed a caretaker government that is of no consequence and is partisan, completely subordinate to him. How can the buck move anywhere else? It first goes towards General Musharraf and stops there. He has to show and pass it on. The onus and burden is fairly squarely on him.
What does the assassination of Benazir Bhutto say about the future of parliamentary elections and of democracy in Pakistan?
I think it will be used as a pretext by General Musharraf to postpone the elections and to impose more stringent conditions upon the citizens of Pakistan.
How does your party proceed in that case?
Our party will meet and will proceed. We will. We have to take very obviously far-reaching and consequential and decisions of great consequence now. It's too early to say how we proceed. I have an emotional response that is obviously going to be factored into the party decisions. The party leadership will meet as soon as possible. But the party's head has been chopped off.
Mr. Assan, one last point. I'd like you to explain to people who have seen the images of Benazir Bhutto campaigning among crowds of Pakistanis, even after there had been prior assassination attempts and bombings, Was this imprudent on her part to have gone campaigning among the people as she did?
Well, let me tell you, and put it in perspective, in October, before she landed, she wrote a letter to General Musharraf, pointing finger at her, at his associates, directly pointing finger at his associates. What did he do on that? I'm not necessarily saying that any one of them was responsible, but what did he do about that? Nothing. He made fun of that. He made fun of those accusations. Now, again, that is the level of care or caution taken by the state apparatus.
So you, no matter what you discover here, no matter who is behind this or who the gunman was, as far as you're concerned, Pervez Musharraf is responsible for it.
He is responsible as the head of the state, as the chief executive, as the most important, powerful person we have, who had been warned again and again by Ms. Bhutto, who takes all the executive decisions. And if you think that the buck moves somewhere else, or he thinks, it's his burden to establish that.
Well, Mr. Ahsan, thank you very much for talking with us today. Ehtezaz Ahsan is a senior member of Benazir Bhutto's Pakistan People's Party. He's a member of the National Assembly. He spoke to us from his home in Lahore, Pakistan, where he's under detention. He's under house arrest.